hope everybody's super well. Super exciting moment, definitely for my mom. I will be on GMA, Good Morning America, on September 18th, Friday morning, answering questions about the opportunity going forward as we go into September, October, November, December, and into 2021. So if you've got any questions about your business, about executiveship, about anything that might be on your mind, please make a video and reply to this tweet with your question and use the hashtag GaryVEE on GMA. Super honored to be on the show and super excited to answer some of your questions on Twitter, from Twitter, excuse me, on Good Morning America, September 18th. I'm looking forward to it. Fire your questions away. Thank you.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Hello and welcome to Leaders to Go, a podcast series brought to you by Sports Business Journal, Leaders in Sport, and the Esports Observer. My name is Chris Hanna, and I'm the founder and CEO of the Esports Observer. Right now, you are listening to Conquering Geek Culture, and together with my guests, I will examine how digital entertainment and popular culture impact the sports and esports industry. Hear from the leaders who spearheaded culture and the ones driving it today, and learn what you need to know in order to not lose touch with today and tomorrow. Hello and welcome to another episode of Conquering Geek Culture. Today I'm joined by Gary Vaynerchuk. Gary, how are you doing?
How are you? Very good.
Like, what can I say? I'm not sure if there's anyone who does not know what you do, but do you want to give a little bit of context just in case there's somebody out there?
Yes, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. I grew up in the streets of New Jersey, eventually worked in my dad's liquor store, had the great privilege of running the family business for about 12 or 13 years, built my dad's business up from a $3 to $65 million business, which kind of put me on the map in the small business arena. Along the way, decided that social media was going to be big, so became an investor in Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr, and that really worked out, as you can imagine. That led to me writing a book in 2009 about social media called Crush It, that really put me on the map in the speaking and kind of, you know, it was a big New York Times bestselling book. That led to me starting an agency called VaynerMedia with my brother, which is now a conglomerate of companies called VaynerX, where we service Fortune 500 companies around the world. We have offices in London and Singapore and in the Americas, and that's gone well. Along the way, I wrote four more New York Times bestselling books, became a prolific content producer, and became a minority owner in the Minnesota Rocker, you know, Call of Duty League with the owners of the Vikings, the Wilfs, started companies like Resy and Empathy Wines that had major exits to Amex and Constellation. And I've really just had a kind of business entrepreneurial realm and a very large social media following under my Gary VEE accounts, where I talk about, you know, my thoughts and ideas and observations and in business, and which really ultimately led to mindset. You know, didn't realize how much self-awareness and self-confidence really were foundational before you get into anything, and have been very, very much a cultural strategist very early in many things. You know, I was there the day Justin TV became Twitch, right? Like, was just so in it, always in it. And I'm very, very humbled to be at this point in my career where, you know, there's a group of people who know who I am, and I get great opportunities like being on this podcast.
It's awesome. I follow a lot of your content, for sure. I love your angle on a lot of things. And what I really want to dig into, and you know, you mentioned culture, you mentioned how you look at things. How are you staying in touch with everything going on? Like, how do you make sure that you see these trends coming? I know you were super bullish on TikTok before it became like a massive thing, for example. I know you look at your early investments, like how do you get these things on your map and how do you look at them in order to decide whether you want to get involved or not?
I think that, I think it's intuition. I think it's skill. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, for example, when people are on my podcast or when I'm doing interviews, I interrupt people a lot and people always get mad at me and they're like, you always just want to hear yourself talk. And there is probably some truth to that. But on the flip side, it's because I've already listened so hard. I kind of know what they're going to say and we're running out of time and I want to get more value for the listener. And I know, you know, I'm always listening and I'm very rarely speaking It's just I'm speaking so prolifically on the internet and so strategically on the platforms and the volume of output, it seems like I'm always talking. Yet the reality is, you know, I might be talking for 30 minutes a day, like a podcast like this, and I'm operating 15 hours a day. And in that operation does come a lot of listening and observing social networks for consumer insights, serendipity of where I put myself in the mix of culture, whether that's NBA All-Star Weekend, whether that's, you know, whether that's conferences of the most progressive technologies, whether that's group chats with blockchain, you know, enthusiasts. You know, I'm a very good Renaissance man. I've got my hands in a lot of stuff, and that allows me to be very wide. And then when I deem something having smoke, that's when I get deep. And so that's been the story of my career. You know, I got very, very deep into wine. I got very, very deep into social media. So I'm very, very deep in some places, and in other places I'm dangerous. You know, and that, like, I was always dangerous in esports. I was always paying attention. Mm-hmm. But then the opportunity came to be part of the ownership group for the new Call of Duty League. And that felt like the right moment because of the family I was going into business with, because of my belief in how long the IP of COD could play out, because of Activision, because of where I was financially, because of where I was culturally, you know? And so I stay flirting, I stay tasting, always got, and then when something happens, I can go deep if I need to, with enough knowledge to make me more successful, which doesn't stop me from making mistakes and having losses, which is absolutely part of the entrepreneurial journey. And that's kind of how I see the world.
And I feel that you're always a, you know, an advocate for getting shit done and just do things and try things. And I think that's part of what you just described. So how did esports eventually get on your map? And like, since when are you following? I mean, you mentioned Justin TV becoming Twitch, which is not per se esports, but I mean, it's one of the major growth drivers that enabled esports. Like, can you just share a little bit on, you know, since when you're following stuff and, you know, why, I mean, you mentioned like kind of why it was the right time for you to get involved in the Call of Duty League right now, but can you just share a little bit of more color around that?
Specifically to that execution?
Yes.
5, 6, 7 years ago, I decided that esports would be one of the biggest genres of sport for the rest of my life, based on pattern recognition, based on being good at history, based on knowing that the 1982 NBA Finals was on tape delay in America, based on knowing that Super Bowl I did not sell out, based on knowing that the heavyweight champion of the world in boxing in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s was the most famous athlete in the world, and now very much not. Based on baseball being religion in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, but no longer being that for 15, like, based on knowing that every 12-year-old talks about playing Madden and 2K and FIFA and Call of Duty, you know, based on listening and history. And so once I made that decision 5 or 6 years ago, then it became a game of, I always think of myself like an animal that's a hunter. Like, once I decided that I'm a lion and I want to eat elk, then I'm just going to sit in the bushes until the elk makes a mistake. And that's how I, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, esports is going to happen 100%. Yeah. And then I just sit. And I wait, and then something came along. I know that augmented reality is gonna be real, but I also know that the timing's not right. I get offered augmented reality and blockchain and virtual reality stuff every day, but I think it's too early. There's not enough people doing it. 6 years ago, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, I believed that enough people were playing esports, watching other people play video games, playing video games, being 40-year-olds in video games, 4-year-olds in video games, mobile games were getting women in. Like, I was watching all the trends. So I knew that somewhere along the line, an opportunity would be right and I would strike. And that's how it worked out.
So what's the stuff that really strikes you? And, you know, you have Vayner Gaming now, and yes, you have Booga under contract, like, who moved, yes, from then Vayner Sports to Vayner Gaming. Like, What are some of the insights, you know, that really got you? Like, what are some stuff you learned, even from interactions with Booga, for example? You know, what is stuff you probably didn't know that really blew your mind?
The first time I met Booga, and we signed him in Vayner Talent, which was a division of VaynerMedia. And now he moved over to Vayner Sports. And then obviously within Vayner Sports, there's a division of Vayner Gaming. The thing that really struck me with Booga's meeting was he's sitting there and he's 17, 16 at the time. And I remember going to the bathroom in the middle of the meeting because I was drinking too much coffee. And I literally said to myself on the way back into the meeting, I'm like, this kid's Roger Federer. You know, I remember thinking Ninja is Andre Agassi. You know, incredible and incredible off the field. Just the charisma, the marketing savvy, and he's had the career that he's had. And I have a lot of respect and a lot of happiness that Tyler has that career. With Kyle, I remember thinking 45 minutes in, back to intuition, I'm like, this is literally what I said. I'm like, is this kid gonna be the greatest esports player of all time? There was something that I understood about him, and it was funny. He did a crossover tournament a couple of weeks ago and he won it. And I apologize, I don't remember what game they played, but he won this tournament against other champions in this little like kind of one-off event. And I remember just saying, I knew it. When Tyler Schmidt on my side texted me and said, Booga won the whole thing. I literally looked at the text. I was in a meeting like this, like on Zoom. Yeah. I got the text and I looked at it and I said, I fucking knew it. Like, so what I learned in the intuitive moment there, and I'm learning now is, oh, wait a minute. There's gonna be certain players that are gonna be cross game talented. It may just be first party shooters. It may be, you know, it's different than crossing over from Call of Duty to, you know, Rocket League to FIFA. That's very insane. And oh, by the way, maybe a Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders comes along and she or he is that person. And I'll be on the lookout for that. But that was the biggest thing I learned there, which was, oh, somebody's gonna be Roger Federer and Usain Bolt and, you know, Muhammad Ali, like the actual greatest player. And that was kind of interesting to me. The other thing that I've learned is it reminds me a lot of social media. In 2012-13, there was no debate that Facebook and Twitter would be foundational technology in society. Yet, almost nobody took it seriously. And I feel like it's pretty obvious to me that outside of proper football and basketball, that esports is either going to be one, two, or three in the most significant sports in the world in a decade. Yet here we are, and people still don't take it serious.
So do you think it's going to complement sports, or do you think it's going to compete with sports in terms of audience? And, you know, do you think there's always going to be people that, I don't know, watch football and then watch esports, or do you think it's going to be really separated and it's going to take away from sports?
Both. I think that there are destined 8-year-olds right now in Berlin and New York City who no internet, no video game culture, if they were growing up in 1981, would become proper football, or you know, in Berlin, proper football and Grand Prix racing, and in America, you know, American football and basketball fans who are now going to be fans of individuals, because esports has more boxing, UFC, golf, tennis dynamics. Yeah. You're going to root for people, but also leagues. And so, you know, there's people who root for Serena Williams, but also love Wimbledon. And then there's people who just love Serena. And so I think that you'll have that dynamic. And I think a certain percentage in the globe, those individuals will only watch esports or only watch esports and basketball. And if there wasn't esports, they would have been basketball and tennis and proper football, soccer. So I think the answer is both. I think that the esports leagues of FIFA and Madden and 2K have the potential to actually help their real life sports. But I think also those companies and those leagues have not figured out how to have a relationship properly. So they're I would call half pregnant. And by being half pregnant, they're not seeing the bigger picture of how these video games can lead to people caring a lot more. In America, I know, I mean, this is what I'm good at. In America, one of the biggest reasons soccer, aka football, has become bigger in the last 15 years is 100% because of FIFA, the video game. Period. I was there, I bought FIFA the day it came out for Sega Genesis. There was not one kid in my college dorm room that even knew how soccer was played. Only because I was born in the Soviet Union and my dad cared about the 1968, you know, World Cup so much, did I even have a little bit. And because the 94 World Cup was in New Jersey and I went like a little bit. But so I think that that's the in-depth answer to your question.
So how do you look at, I mean, you're obviously dealing a lot with branding and, you know, marketing and sales. And, you know, I'm super passionate about that stuff. And what I really wanted to ask you is, what's your take on branding when you look at esports teams, right? And you look at franchises, you look at how leagues market themselves. Like, what do you think of the challenges? And have you seen anything that you really feel, you know, a lot of people doing well?
Well, actually, you know, in esports gaming, there's actually been a lot better work. I mean, look, FaZe Clan and 100 Thieves, and I mean, they've done better jobs than some of the biggest, you know, I think they're, from a contemporary marketing standpoint, they're better than anybody. And from an overall marketing standpoint, they're right there with the Yankees and Manchester United. I think esports is, because of its youth, because of its necessity, because they can't waste money on television commercials and billboards, I think has done an incredible job. And I think it's, you know, we're just getting our feet wet. Right now I'm focusing on the operations of the team with the Rocker and version one, because we've expanded into Rocket League. But I'm really looking to flex my marketing muscles on my entities here in the next half decade. I'm really excited about it.
There's this whole discussion of using esports as a launch pad just to get through to the audience. And if you look at 100 Thieves, you look at FaZe Clan, you know, you could even raise the question, like, do they need their gaming teams per se, or have they grown beyond what they are?
As you know, in the gaming world, they're looked at cynically because they're looked at as influencers, not even actual gamers.
Yeah.
I think both can be true. You know, I always think about Ninja. You know, I'm happy for Ninja, because in 50 years, people will look at him like Tony Hawk. They'll look at him like Pele. You know, like, he really, and he does both those things well. He can actually game in his skill, and he can be a good brander. You know, I think it's harder to build a great brand than it is to find a great professional player. I would argue that FaZe in our league at Call of Duty is a tougher competitor because there's a lot of kids that want to play for that brand. You know, we're about to have a very good free agency on Minnesota Rocker. A lot of that, you know, first of all, my team, this is not fair, but listen, everyone we were recruiting was really interested because I own the team that's on brand.
Yep.
So I'm excited about, to watch it evolve. I love the hardcore actual skill set gaming community that shits on those brands because I understand why. And I also love those brands doing what they're doing because it is very healthy and good for the overall industry. And both can be true. But I do think it's easier, again, for FaZe and Thieves and others to just sign a good player and then all of a sudden they're good.
So looking at it from an investor, with your team, like, what do you see as challenges right now? And what do you think needs to change, if anything, to make your investment worthwhile in, I don't know, 10, 20 years, whatever the time frame is?
You just have to stay alive. The challenge is it's early.
Yeah.
That's all. You just have to not overspend to how much you have coming in. If you can survive, you're going to make, it's the same challenges that happen for the professional leagues, for the NFL, for the NBA, and all of them had very rocky, like, I'm sure there'll be different owners. I'm sure there'll be different teams. Like, the history of sport is very obvious. It starts off, half go away, half stay, and then it builds. And if you're right, you really got something. And so my strategy is to hold my breath as long as possible. And then there'll be because it will 100% happen. Like, 15 years from now, there will be 3 to 25 titles that have significant leagues with real revenue. My hope is that the leagues that we're expanding into, because, you know, what you have to bet on is, are you picking Zelda or Mario or Pac-Man or Madden? You know, are you picking a title? Because the concept of overall of professional video game playing is here for the rest of every person that's listening's life 100%. Where you can get caught as an owner is you pick the wrong title.
Yeah.
Right? You picked the wrong title and you put a lot of money up, and in 3 years nobody cares about that game anymore and you're finished. So you got to pick the right titles, and then you just got to wait for the biggest brands in the world, Coca-Cola and Budweiser and others, to realize how big this actually is, and then you're there.
Yeah, I like that. And I think you're right. I think that there's a lot of movement, and it's already happening right now. You know, and that's where there's a whole discussion about the open versus closed ecosystem. So I mean, good luck. And you know, what's next? What's next for you and the team then? Like, where are you going to take it? Like, what's your vision for this?
Right now, to be very frank, my vision is that I'm going to be unbelievably transparent. Vision number one, unbelievable amounts of learning. If I lose my financial investment, which will break my heart, it's a lot of money to me, I still know it's going to work out because I'm learning a ton. And this is a sector I want to be involved with until the day I die. Number two, hold the breath, meaning on a day-to-day basis, you know, what can we do to make revenue so that we stay alive? How do we create more relevance? Number three, become a more influential owner in the league so that I can then help with the distribution deals and really get smart about where it goes. And obviously with, you know, ownership of the IP with a gaming company, you're only going to have so much say. So I don't have grand delusion, but I'd like to influence and help make, you know, distribution deals and naming rights and things that can maybe bring real revenue, because I feel like I'm a good businessman. And that's A, B, and C. And before A, literally zero, before A, be the most player-friendly owner of all time. Really build relationships with my guys. Let them know, and girls, let them know that I'm there for them as an owner. Maybe they are going through a bad breakup, or maybe they want to be a businessman one day, or maybe they just want to clear their mind before a big tournament or match. So that's kind of how I think about it.
How do you explain it to a brand? Like, do brands get it yet? Or when you talk to brands, like, where do you got to pick them up?
Brands are getting it-ish, right? I think we've crossed, again, that's why I used social media 2013. Social media 2013, I think at that point, people understood it was real, but like I said earlier, didn't respect how big it really was.
Yeah.
I think that's where we're at right now with, you know, esports. I think most CMOs, CEOs of big brands that would do deals understand this is not going away. This is not a fad. Yeah. But I don't think they understand that if they want, like, for example, I don't think most people understand, and I'll speak about America because I understand it the best, but I have very good insight to Asia and Europe as well, that if they really want to win with 12 to 25 year old guys, there's probably no better place to put money than esports.
I want to be really mindful of your time. So final question.
Please.
Like, what's the best piece of advice that you can share with people? And that can be private advice, it can be business advice.
I have something that came right to my mind. If you're even listening to this podcast, that means you have incredible interest in this sector. A, you are incredibly right. So my piece of advice is this: happiness is more valuable than everything on earth. It is very clear to me that you're listening to this, that esports, gaming, video games make you happy. Especially if you're young, or by the way, if you're a 49-year-old lawyer, right? Or a 63-year-old stay-at-home mom. But definitely if you're 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, all of you, 63-year-old mom, 17-year-old, you know, about to graduate high school, there is real business and a real career to be had in this world. And right now you're probably telling people that, or you're telling yourself that in your head, and you're getting no's. No's from your parents, no's from your teachers, and even no's from yourself. You can't leave this great lawyer job to try to become an esports executive. The answer is you should, because it's going to explode even more so than it's exploded. I think sometimes when people have been following it, they think it exploded, and I'm like, it hasn't even started. And my best piece of advice is follow your heart and your interests. The money absolutely does come, and even if not as much, ask yourself, for the one who's already further along, would you rather make $100,000 a year being unhappy, or 75 being thrilled. And I think that's the great piece of advice here, which is this is an incredible sector that you happen to be aware of right this second. And you have to take advantage of it, because kudos on you to being in a place where you're even listening to this podcast. Now get the full happiness out of it.
Thank you very much. I love that.
Thank you, Chris.
Good luck with all your ventures.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
For anybody, I'm Gary VEE on all social if you want to say what's up or ask a question on the podcast. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, bye. Chris. Bye-bye. All right, episode's over. Please leave a review and subscribe up on Apple. It would mean a lot to me. Thank you very much.
Hey, podcast. Joe from Team Gary here. Today's highlighted review is Finding This Was a Giant Win by Amir. I can't believe I didn't know about Gary V or his podcast. Listening to this podcast has changed my life. I'm here listening every single day for new exciting content. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.